to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
What? You think you can beat me so easily, huh? Is that what you think?
Nah, it's not like
that. No. Here's your chance. Because I'm taking that title. Tonight.
Listen, man, I don't know why you're all fired up, but I accept.
I am the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Okay, here it comes. Never start till the flyover happens. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for Saturday, July 6th. I'm the Cashman, and I'll introduce the cast and crew here in just a second. Holidays today, real quick. It's International Kissing Day. Gotta kiss some international kisses. All right, International Cherry Pit Spitting Day. Now, don't confuse the two. That's pretty gross. And National Fried Chicken Day. Welcome to the show. Happy birthday to WWE superstar Lars Sullivan. He turns 31 today. Vince McMahon Sr. would have been 105. All right, the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Don't Slight Empire at Culver. Joining us today on the show, I'm the Cashman with the Danger Boy, who's working the tweeter.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we are here with Double B, Brian Burke.
Good morning.
We're here with Double E, Eric Eminon.
I just got in here like 5 seconds ago.
And our good friend Matt Wilson from over WHIM is going to sit in with us for a second. How's it going, Matt?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great, Matt. Matt is an amazing producer. You might hear him on the Carl Falk Show at times. He works with Bob Matthews. He does everything, you know, and man, he is a unsung hero around here. Thank you. And he also filled in for me last week when I really needed some help. So welcome to the show. We're going to talk the world of pro wrestling, of course, before we get too far into it. Sean, Danger Boy, did you hear Lars Sullivan's birthday is today?
Yeah, I heard that off the you know, side when I was going to go check on Eric coming in.
He's 31.
Yeah.
Wow. He looks like he's like 45.
Yeah, that's part of being a freak.
Yeah, he is kind of a freak. He's a weirdo looking dude. So, hey, so that I want to throw that out there. Don't forget, come out tonight to Salvatore's at the Garage Door, Salvatore's Saloon for UFC 239. I'll be hosting at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Come on, join us out. 10 p.m. start time. You know, the prelims start at 8. You want to get there early. There's some great fights. Every fight in this card is going to be fantastic. We'll be hosting it. There'll be drink specials all night. That's tonight. And who can forget Rochester's own John Bones Jones in the main event defending his light heavyweight title. I know I say Rochester Zone. It says Endicott a lot of times on the screen, but he was born here in town, and he is going to be defending that belt. He likes representing upstate New York, and hopefully it's an easy win for him tonight. Then we can go on to the Cormier rematch that they've been talking about since then, which may become maybe fought as a heavyweight title sometime in the next 3 months. Could be Cormier's last fight. Could be John Jones's first as a heavyweight. We'll see what happens. But tonight he's just defending his light heavyweight title. Got some other great fights. Amanda Nunes is taking on
Holly Holm.
Holly Holm, the girl who knocked out Ronda Rousey, the girl who showed the world Ronda Rousey's weaknesses.
Her glass chin.
Yeah, no.
Kick her in the head.
Punched her right between the eyes, and she was lit up the rest of the fight, and it was over. So there's some great fight. You know, definitely come out and hang out with us tonight. I want to let you know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria. Did I already mention that? Palmer's Food Service, Don't Slight Empire Culver. Let's jump in to the world of pro wrestling, and I do want to tell you, you can participate. Give us a call, 222-1280. Or if you're shy, we do have the zip whip up, as they call it, and you can text us at that number. And if you text us at that number, if it's funny, I will read it. I promise. Some people send some of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Most of them are funny. I mean, maybe they were funny when they were constructed. I don't know if they were funny by the time they got to me. But, Danger, you've seen some pretty wild ones, right?
There's always some interesting tweets.
So let's talk about, we might as well, you know, jump on this while we can. Let's talk about the first week of Paul Heyman on Monday Night Raw.
That opening was probably one of the best openings I have seen in a decade.
It was,
hands down.
It, you know, could you tell his handprints were all over the show?
Oh, yeah.
Did you, I mean, Brian, how about you? Did you, what did you think of, what stood out as maybe something Paul Heyman might, you know, that Paul Heyman has these things he always goes to.
They had me hooked with the beginning. I wanted to see what else was going to happen. You know?
See, I hate stuff like that. I hate lingering shots on holes in walls for 5 minutes, you know?
Well, no, that's not what I mean. What I mean is they did that at the beginning. I wanted to see what they're going to do the rest of the 3 hours of the show, if they're going to try to top it, what else they were going to do. So, I mean, it worked from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, and there was other things his handprints were on. Maria Kanellis, you know, I mean, what was going on?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that people think his handprints weren't on that he didn't touch. He wasn't fully in charge. He's been working with stuff backstage since WrestleMania time, but he wasn't fully in charge. But there is certain segments that were 100% his stuff. The opening segment was one of them. He loves doing stuff like that.
He likes taking, you know, I mean, listen, Corey, what's his name, swore on the air.
Graves.
Corey Graves had said something on the air that obviously was okay to say, or he would have been pulled off the air.
Heyman likes having that OS moment.
Yeah.
And that's what the swear was too, so.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, but it blew me away. It was in the 8 o'clock hour, the first segment on Monday Night Raw. The guys
dropping
S-bombs. It's like, yeah. You know, I mean, and so that, and to me, that's what Heyman immediately, you know, Heyman like pushes the edge, you know?
I wanted to say that too. Do you think it's, because I think the modern era of wrestling has been trying to be a little bit more kid friendly. So I think this is kind of bringing it back to a more of a.
Oh, you are being kind by saying trying to be. It's been since, I think since 2005, right. It's been PG.
I agree.
You know, I mean, they, you know, and the funny thing is I've read this past week that SmackDown always was the PG show from beginning. There never was anything, you know. But Raw was the one that would push the limits, and I mean they threatened a couple weeks ago to start doing this, and I mean I guess we're getting it now, you know. I mean, you're talking about being impregnated by the man, amongst other things going on, you know, and you know, I mean, you have to just have an imagination.
The backstage story on that whole thing is probably my favorite thing from the entire week, and that includes Fyter Fest.
Okay,
the fact that Maria Kanellis got them to sign her to a 5-year contract without them knowing she was pregnant. Wanting to run a pregnancy storyline with her, and then finding out she actually is pregnant.
Well,
well,
good for her.
They're signing everybody to these long-term contracts because they're scared of AEW, and I mean that's how I ended the show last week, was calling them out saying they were scared, and it's true. I believe it. So 222-1280 Star Toys number. We got Mike from Rochester. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing today, sir?
Not too bad. I just wanted to call, obviously, about the first Paul Heyman edition of Raw. I thought it had mostly positives. Like you guys said, I thought the first segment was a breath of fresh air, not having 15-20-minute banter and actually having a match with a great cliffhanger at the end.
I love it. They started with a match. It's like that's immediately something you don't usually see on Raw.
Yes, and I think that hopefully he just keeps that as the way to go, because one of the things that I think is problems with Raw lately is because it starts with a 15-20-minute talk segment, the fans are already like conditioned to be bored when the show first starts. So if you do something hot right off the bat, it gets people into the show and hopefully stays within a 3-hour process. So I think that that's a good start right off the bat.
Well, you know, they get cut off now at 11, so it's got to stay within three, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is unfortunate because I like the spillover. They used to benefit from that. Now that they don't benefit from it anymore, they don't want to do it anymore.
Right,
yeah, I was going to say,
exactly.
Bring the ratings, and then they'll get the spillover
back.
Yeah,
yeah. That's when they would have those high ratings at the end of the show, and they said, well, we want it to leak into ours. Go a couple minutes over. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's the opposite. Now, by the third hour, that's where the ratings are usually at the weakest because people drop off as the show goes on.
Yeah, and I agree, and I'm amazed, you know, we've seen it get there. And I think, you know, you remember that we just started the month of July. We're in the month of 7. The month of October is the month of 10. It's 3 months away. We're going to have competition on TV in 3 months, as well as we're going to have SmackDown moving to Fox, the Fox Network.
That's going to be the biggest week that pro wrestling's had in 18 years, in my opinion.
I think so, too. And they're going to have to be everywhere. You might even get one on this show, you know, and one of the WWE guys might pop in or something.
There you go.
You never know, you know.
I think that one of the things, though, they really have to stop is this no wrestling during commercial breaks. Because I'm just getting really nauseated with the 2 out of 3 false stipulations.
Or the restarts.
All these reasonings to restart a match so they don't have wrestling during the commercial breaks. It's like, just have the match, have parts of the match. The problem was, it's not that they weren't having parts of the match during the commercial breaks. Is they were having the heat or the comebacks during the commercial breaks. So me as a fan would not actually see some of the most important intricacies of a wrestling match.
And that's been happening since they've been doing it for the last couple of weeks anyways. I will say this. Danger Boy made a good point last week. He said, because the reason they didn't do that back then is because they all had 3-minute matches. They all were really short.
Yes.
You know, and because they were so short, I think that, you could have, but they had better writers back then. They could fill the other places, They didn't have to fill it with wrestling. Remember when the days when it was all wrestling all the time and you didn't care about the storylines or things, things would organically be happening, between people? That just doesn't happen anymore. But the writers, it's a crutch for the writers to have more wrestling and less, especially during the TV shows. So
that's true. But the problem is that when you have all this, a lot of times guys are getting pinned even more now. Like Kofi Kingston, I never was a fan, about him being even a WWE champion in the first place. But when he got the title, the one thing they were doing good was they were protecting him. Every match he was winning with his finisher. But then because they did the 2 out of 3 fall stipulation a couple weeks back on SmackDown, he had to lose a fall to Dolph Ziggler, which was ridiculous. It's like, to me, that's the problem. It's like you're having these 1-minute match and there's a pinfall, then another minute match and there's another pinfall. You're just making guys look like even bigger geeks than they already are.
Oh yeah, I agree. That 2 out of 3 match, as we said last week, should be it should be a special thing. It should tell a story. It should be a 20-30 minute total match.
But they still have to get those early falls out of the way if they want to make it go to the full 3, obviously.
Right, but I don't think they should be having those every week on Raw and SmackDown.
No,
they should
be
saved for the special
events. I will say this, too. And when in Ric Flair's heyday, and I'm not going to go back and lean on the 80s and 90s, but Ric Flair never won TV matches. He never won anything until it meant something. So it's okay if Kofi loses until it means something,
Yeah, but here's the only, I agree what you're saying, but Ric Flair was already had so much equity built up as a strong world champion. One of the problems that Kofi has is he's had a 10-11 year career where he was never considered a main eventer. He only started getting built up in merch. So to me, he's looking at it from, he's already like got a disadvantage going in. So that's why you can't, it's not a fair comparison because Ric Flair was built up all through the 80s.
I know.
By the time you started watching him in like 87, 88, he was already like the number 2 wrestler star-wise in the world behind Hogan. So it's not a fair, like Kofi Kingston needs all the help he can get. And as you can see, it's not like he's moving ratings by any stretch of imagination.
No, but Kofi also, since WrestleMania, since he won that title, has not lost a match until Monday. And that was done to build up Samoa Joe.
Yeah, that part was fine. I was just talking about him getting pinned in a fall by Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah,
I just don't agree.
Well, they had
that
to do something to make Dolph actually look like a reasonable challenger because they didn't have anybody to go to Saudi Arabia a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, not only that, right. But I mean, they built him as a contender.
You're right, exactly. Now they turned Kevin Owens babyface again, which is where they wanted him all along. I understand all that.
I kind of like the progress of Kevin Owens this past week. We'll talk about that a little bit later, I think. But I will say that, I think that you, as a wrestling fan, have a problem with champions dropping falls, and I can understand that definitely. You're the champion, you're the number one guy. And the thing is in the good old days when the heels were champs, heels would cheat and win, and so that's the same as the same kind of feeling where it wasn't really a legit win, but they would cheat and win. And it would be a W in the book. So it's like, I can understand definitely where you're coming from. But I don't know how much longer Kofi's going to hold that belt. But I will say that fans were like getting on him on Twitter this past week asking why he looked like his chest was caved in. And he wrote that back in 2009, the Big Show chopped him one hard one and it never came back. So.
Right. I'm still going by my theory that Brock ultimately cashes in on him and not Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I do too, because he needs to be on Fox.
I think the first Fox main event's going to be him against Roman Reigns for the title.
I think that would be great. I mean, you're going to have a marquee matchup, and it'll probably be Roman Reigns winning it because you got to have the good guy come out on the very first show.
I think that's where this is going. That's just my personal opinion. We'll see if I'm right.
We'll see, man. Thank you for calling, man.
Absolutely, guys. Right. You guys have a great day.
That's something else that needs to change, Cash. The good guy can't always come out on top. We have to have some of those.
I want
to
heal, man. I want to heal. I want Daniel Bryan back there. He did a great heel champion last year. AJ Styles is now healing. So,
and I know we grew up in an era. I mean, at least I grew up in an era of Hulk Hogan as a WWF champion, the Ultimate Warrior. You always had the face was a longtime champion.
Yeah.
NWO is so much better because the face always chased.
Yeah.
And a heel champion is usually stronger because they can go about keeping the title so many ways to build up that heat on them.
Like Triple H. Remember when he was the heel champion for a long time?
No one likes Triple H.
Hey, speak for yourself. Some people do like Triple H.
Well, I like what Triple H is doing now.
Yeah, because he's running NXT and yes. He's staying off of TV as much as he can. And if he's on TV, he gets hurt.
NXT and their TNA Breakout Star Championship tournament.
Yeah, going on right now. We're going to go to break on that. I'll be back on the flip side. You listen to... Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us at that number. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are gathered here today for a very special sermon. Your NXT Tag Team Champion,
Angelo Dawkins,
Montez Ford,
the Street Profits on Monday Night Raw.
The only man here tonight was the man, Becky. So maybe the next time, I'll ask Becky to impregnate me.
Moon, I brought you to Raw to meet Dana Brooke. Dana, this is my wife, Renee.
Hi, it's so nice to meet you.
Yes.
So how's the married life?
Married life is great. We need to keep going. I'm sorry. Look, it's just a stop along the way. I promise you.
You're obsessed with the 24/7 title.
That's right.
You have a choice. It's either me or the 24/7 championship.
Look, of course I choose you. You're my wife. Look, I love you.
I'm WWE superstar John Cena, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Oh, Lord, I hate this music. Mike and Maria Kanellis finally make their return to TV in a big way this past week. I don't know if you should be calling a man the B word, like she was backstage. And
That was one of the Heyman segments, and that was the most heavily criticized one, and it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and there's some quotes you'll hear later on some of the sound drops where, she compares the man to being more of a man than her husband, and, I'm sure, you've heard it in a good barroom argument between people before, hearing the same things, I'm sure, right? I knew as soon as I saw that segment, too, it's like had Heyman written all over
it. What kind of bars do you hang out at?
I will say that Maria Kanellis, I think she was she was a favorite of Heyman when he was in charge of creative before. So it doesn't surprise me that he's using her again, in a more prominent position. And it's like, and I talked about this, Danger and I were coming at the same time, and I talked a little bit about this, how people were tweeting at the man, saying that they felt that the man and Seth Rollins have no chemistry on screen. What do you guys think?
They have none.
Absolutely none.
I said it when they first made the announcement that they were an on-air couple. It's like, you got to leave the personal life personal, and you've got to leave the business life business. And so when they brought that into
light... It works sometimes.
Yeah.
But like when we had Sonny and Skip. Or whatever, I think that, I don't even know if it really worked.
Well, it worked until Sonny started dating Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. While she was still, with Skip. But nevertheless, but I mean, there were certain times when the couples do work, but most of the time they do, like Macho and his wife, Elizabeth.
When they did their whole wedding, they were getting divorced.
Yeah, and the funny thing is the whole thing about that is she never said a word either, which is perfect.
Good Lord, we're getting protested.
Yeah, all right, 222-1280, star 12, and we got Rick on the line. What's up, Rick?
What's going on, guys? How are you guys doing today?
Doing great. How are you doing, sir?
I can't complain. I might call from the road next week. Depends on depending on my mood, on this time next week, I'll be on the road to Saratoga Springs.
What's at Saratoga Springs? We got Dave Matthews Band.
Yes.
Oh, Guess in the Dark. Cool.
All right, we can hang up on Rick now.
First of all, staying with the theme of Heyman's, segments on there. It just reminds me of the old ECW, like 97, 98, when it was real gritty and the segments were real raw. I like that.
They would have the segments from, like, the locker room where Lito would be walking around and with Steve Corino.
Her name was not Lita then.
Yeah, what was she again?
Miss Congeniality.
Miss Congeniality. Before she had certain improvements.
Assets,
improvements.
Implanted.
Yeah, something like that.
They're going to bring back some more GTV. Remember the GTV?
Yeah, I don't know about that. to me, that means Gatorade TV, okay? Now it does.
It was Gold Dust back in the day.
I was guessing after the both guys going through the wall and all the explosions going on last week that one was going to come out and start stuttering for a while, and they could do a segment for like 3 years with him coming out going, duh, you know.
Now, I just read some reports that Rousey has been planning on and she wants to work with Heyman. What do you think of that?
Oh, I heard that she definitely is going to come back, but right now she's still trying to have a baby. She wants to have a baby. She's still doing, she was backstage last week at SmackDown when they were out in California. So she's still, she still wants to be part of it. I think now that we've had a year of her and now she's gone for a while, maybe it'll be better to bring her back, ease her back in. But right now she's still got things going on that will keep her away. And actually she's talking about UFC fighting still too. I think she still owes them a fight on a contract, so.
Oh, wow. She really might have one more
I'm sure she doesn't, but I'm sure that because they wouldn't let her go to WWE for a year if she still had a fight. But I'm guessing that she may have had like an optional fight that she could still, sign off on and get paid $3 million or something to go out and fight.
As long as it's not against Holly Holm.
Well, she would probably like to take someone who beat her, I'm guessing that, not Amanda Nunes, but I would think Holly Holm definitely. We'll see how Holly does tonight, against Amanda. It's going to be a good fight.
Definitely. I really like how if they do this right with the club, I like they're all three of those guys back together now that Gallows and Anderson signed a new 5-year deal.
I don't care if they repeat everything the club did in New Japan as long as they do it here in America, because
it's better than anything they've been doing.
Yeah, it is a good heel faction, and if they let them do it, and then they got Finn too, who they can could probably build up some time trying to convince him to come in, and maybe they could start. Well, he could be like the Diamond Dallas Page against the NWO.
That's one of those segments everyone thought that that Heyman wrote, and Heyman, they've been building that for weeks. Heyman had nothing to do with them bringing them back together. That was always
Heyman
the plan.
Doesn't like to reuse things, and so that'd be something he definitely wouldn't like. I think he wouldn't like to do the same the gimmick that they did a couple of years ago. But I think a lot of those guys were signed based on the Bullet Club. So
yeah, and chemistry wise, these guys have they're one of the best teams out there. So arguably, that is really what needs to happen. Like if the club comes back as as they were in their old form, and hopefully it's not like when the NWO came over and everyone was like, oh, the NWO's back, but it was just such a watered down
styrofoam bricks. Yeah.
Is Anderson's hot Asian wife still on the line for Styles?
I believe she is. He lost it. I think he lost. Maybe that's AJ will have to win it back against Ricochet, because they're excited that basically it's going to set up a match against Ricochet at the next pay-per-view.
And that is one of the things you're going to see is Ricochet is a Paul Heyman guy, and Paul Heyman is going to push him to the moon, which he should because he is something special.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now I was reading that Impact might be trying to get a deal with Access TV.
Yeah, that was that. And if it does, it's good for Impact because they've been hopping networks every year for the last couple of years.
And Pursuit's been dropped by, I think it was Dish Network, and it's hard to find anywhere else.
Yeah, so they might be forced into it, become part of Friday night's Access block with the women wrestling as well as the New Japan. In fact, tonight, thank you for bringing it up. There is a card tonight on Access TV.
That's live, yeah.
Yeah, you guys want to check that out. It starts at 6:00. It's going to be the, it's in Dallas, Texas. It's a G1 tournament. And
I thought it started at 9. I thought I saw my guide yesterday started at 9, which would be 7 o'clock.
I'm sorry. You're right. I have 6, but that's only some of the coverage that people are going to be following it. But yeah, I mean, we're going to get to see Will Ospreay, a guy that you might remember from last week having a little tete-a-tete with Seth Rollins online, as well as apparently originally Jon Moxley was supposed to be.
No, he was never advertised at all.
Okay, but you're getting like the best of New Japan: Okada, Tanahashi, Ibushi, Kenta. You get Zack Sabre Jr. Did I see Jay White? Juice Robinson's going to be on.
Pretty much everybody except Jon Moxley in the G1 is going to be on the show.
Jeff Cobb's, you know, the guy who's, I think he's the Ring of Honor TV title holder, Jeff Cobb, Tama Tonga. So you're gonna see like and definitely set your VCRs now if you're not going to be home, because, you know, if you're going to be watching the UFC with me, you might miss some of that, so.
Yeah, man, I saw that yesterday. I was kind of super excited. It says night one, but I checked tomorrow. There's no night two on the guide.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because they have night one. They do the G1 G1 Climax series goes on for a while.
And it goes in, I think.
Because it's like a round-robin tournament where they have the Block A and Block B, and they all face each other. So I believe this is Block A starting, and the Block B competitors all do like multi-man tag matches. And that's why Moxley doesn't have to be there. He's in the Block B.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's A-block tournament. A lot of these are A-block tournament matches.
So they're going to have like 15 nights of this throughout. They started in the States, but most of it's going to be over in Japan. Yeah. And then the winner of the G1 tournament ends up going to the Tokyo Dome in January.
The big show. Yeah.
And one other thing I'd like to hit on as far as SmackDown going to FS1 in the fall. Hopefully,
Fox, not FS1.
Yeah, they're going to Fox.
Going to Fox. It's going to be on Channel 7 in Rochester.
FS1 may be getting like their superstars. Yeah, you know, one of the other shows they put out, but they're actually going to be doing like a kind of like a talk show recap of the week on FS1 too. They've got a lot of plans to do.
I'm available to be hired for that, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I don't want to get in a contract and then stay home.
If
the whole
they're paying
time.
Me $500,000 to stay home, I'll take it.
Yeah, certainly.
Did you hear that segment on, I guess, a girl that I watched a few episodes on FS1, this girl, Christine Leahy. She had Paige on a while ago, and she got a week on Daily Series with athletes. And AJ Lee was on there not too long ago saying she wouldn't ever rule out possibly coming back.
Yeah, why not? She made a ton of money, and she was there for such a short time. You know, AJ Lee doesn't have the problems with WWE that CM Punk does, okay? And I'm hearing more and more as we get closer to this AEW show in Chicago, more and more Punk might have something to do with it. I'm just throwing that out as part of the rumors that are going around, but if Punk keeps addressing it in his tweets, saying, I don't know who these guys are, I don't, you know, and stuff. I think if he keeps addressing it in his tweets, I think that it leaves more and more guilty that he might show up as a surprise. And that would be, Punk, that would be a huge get. And it would allow him to get a little bit of revenge against the WWE, some people that he felt did him wrong.
The other big rumor was there was a guy who's very close friends with Punk who does music. And he says, I'm working on a very special theme song for somebody, you know, who's going to be debuting soon. Hmm. And then literally in his Instagram a couple hours later, was a photo of him and Punk together. So I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think that would, you know, that would put a little spark into this wrestling world. CM Punk, who, you know, totally had his hand, you know, washed his hands of the business and went to UFC and then just had a terrible results in his UFC fights to the point where they just like, they're not even going to hold him to that third fight that he owns him on the contract. You know, they're like, yeah, nah, you know what? You can go fight for a smaller organization or do something else. But Punk he was a guy who never spent money, you know, unnecessarily. So he doesn't really need to work or anything if he doesn't want to. But if somehow fans can get him to get the fire back in him and to want to do something in wrestling, and AEW kind of has this real shoot kind of feel to it, you know, when Cody Rhodes comes out with a sledgehammer and smashes a Triple H throne on that pay-per-view, things like that happen, you know that there's like, you know, there's a lot of underlying anxiety between the WWE and AEW. And like I said last week, WWE's scared of what's going to happen, even though they claim they aren't. They said, "Oh, people will they'll rest on their own petard or whatever."
Well, there's rumors right now that so next week they have Evolve going on their network to go head to head with the Fight for the Fallen that's going to be happening.
I'm so bitter about that.
there's rumors they're going to be putting that they already have the NXT UK happening in the afternoon of the same day as All Out. There's rumors they're going to be doing something at night that night too on the network to try to compete.
And they're not worried at all, are they? Huh? No, no, not whatsoever. They only look desperate. Okay. Anything else, Rick?
No, thanks. I appreciate your time, and we'll catch you guys real soon.
Rick, I hope you have all 10 digits from the July 4th, brother.
I do. I had to work the next day, so I no activities for me.
Yeah, you know, what's his name? the guy for the Giants?
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh, yeah, right?
Okay.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Hey, talk about, speaking of fireworks, one of, I just seen, some wrestler just had a fireworks mishap.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I got to look that up. I'll tweet it to you guys.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah.
We got to go to break on that. We'll be back after this. You'll listen to... Give us a call. 222-1280.
We haven't even talked Fyter Fest yet.
I know. And that was last weekend. And that got some interesting results from that. 222-1280. Starts with... We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
If you're in the building, dead man, we want you to march yourself down this aisle, magically appear in the ring, it's the dealer's choice, so we can look you in your eyes and tell you we are not afraid, and at Extreme Rules, we exterminate the legacy of The Undertaker.
I have lived my life. I look the part, Kevin. All you look like is you could be entered in a hot dog eating contest.
You know what? If I was in a hot dog eating contest, I'd win, which is more than you can say about wrestling matches.
What are you doing, Kevin?
What am I doing? Listen, I'm just trying to help. I wouldn't want anybody to see that footage, and, you know, having somebody's untrained eye assume that you're afraid of The Undertaker.
Listen, I don't need your help on this. Why don't you just be a good little talk show host, do what you're told, and read the cards as we agreed upon before we came out here. Do your job.
Honey, I know I said this honeymoon was going to be great, but now we get to do it properly. We get to do it 24/7!
This is Harper, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic.
24/7. Wow.
Good for him.
Nothing had happened. Obviously, nothing had happened before that.
No, never.
No, not. They got married, but nothing happened. He was constipated, according to R-Truth.
More fiber in his diet.
That's right. That's what R-Truth said. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Yeah, we haven't touched a lot of things so far. I will say, what'd you guys think about Kofi Kingston giving the finger to Samoa Joe?
It's edgy. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, Steve Austin is more than welcome to come back now. You know?
Well, they said he might come back because he's got that show that's going to happen.
They've been promoting.
Where he interviews people.
Yes. It's interesting who's the people he's interviewing and what they're doing, you know? I mean, doing some like target shooting and all sorts of things. But Steve Austin, great guy. I mean, loved him when he's been on the show a couple times, and have not seen him. I mean, he's a PG-13 kind of guy, you know? Can't really use him unless you can have the middle finger and beers flying everywhere.
100%.
So. See, I have a problem still with everybody complaining about the PG and PG-13 thing. If you had entertaining shows with good writing, it wouldn't matter what your rating is.
Well, they feel that they're losing the kids. They feel that, you know, because kids are more edgier, that if they throw out them some things that are PG-13,
having that in there is always, you know, for every once in a while is good. If you do it all the time, it's going to lose its value anyways.
Yeah.
It's going to become a crutch for them.
It will, but I mean, like how many years did they live on that crutch and have their best ratings ever?
Because they actually had compelling storylines and things people wanted to see.
See, hey, they
blew up Vince McMahon in a limousine, okay?
And he was that back was, 2 weeks later.
And the bad thing is they had to drop that whole angle immediately. Like, the next week it was dropped because of what something happened in the world. What was it? I'm trying to remember. What was it?
A certain character just killed his family and
that happened right after
and
the,
himself. It happened the next week.
Yeah, right after the limo blowing up. So we've seen him have to drop characters before on a day's notice. What's his name? Hassad. Muhammad Asad.
Yeah, that was big bad.
Yeah, the guy's now a teacher in Syracuse. He teaches. I think he's a principal because I tried to get him a couple times writing through this school, trying to see if he'd come on. And he's a guy who, like, you know, had the best heel heat at the time when they just like kind of cut his legs out from underneath him and said, "You're going to lose at the next pay per view, and then we're taking you off TV and you're done."
Well, when you do a terrorist gimmick on the same week that the London trains get bombed by terrorists,
the tube was bombed. Yeah.
There's an issue. They were going the right. They were doing that properly for a long time, and then decided to go completely the opposite direction of what they should have done.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about Fyter Fest this past week. If you were a fan, we got to watch it for free. Danger told us how to do it last week on the show.
You can still watch it for free because I watched it on a replay. And they have it up on Bleacher Report Live. It's free to join. It's all that kind of stuff, all free. And you can watch the whole thing and enjoy it. And it's actually it was a shorter show. It was only about 2.5 hours, just under 3 hours. And it was entertaining.
I will say that because I was calling roller derby the whole day, I did not get to see it. But and also there was UFC that night too. But I will say that the first thing I heard about it was the chair shot. Okay, let's talk about the chair shot. Cody Rhodes takes an unprotected shot from a chair. Now they came out later and said, "Oh, it's a rubber chair. It was gimmicked."
No, it's not a rubber chair.
It's a gimmick.
They gimmicked the chair, which is the dumbest thing they could have done
because it's what wrapped around and cut him in the back of the head.
Yeah, it's the not gimmicking the chair itself is the dumbest thing they could have done. They came out and pretty much admitted that wrestling isn't real and there's no reason to follow this storyline because it went unplanned. What they should have done is what MJF did and come out and go, "I hate this guy. He hit someone I like with a chair. I don't care if I'm the bad guy. I'm going to go out and call this guy out for being a bad guy as well."
Sure.
You go for the shock factor. You play off of it, and that's the way you should have done
it. I think that
out and say that your stuff is fake.
I think that they felt that they had to backpedal on that, though, because if it had turned out the way they wanted to, it wouldn't have been a problem. But unfortunately, Cody Rhodes got a nice gash in the back of his head, and he proceeded to bleed all over the place. And he sold. It was a no-protected chair shot. I mean, Eric, you know that unprotected chair shots have been outlawed for almost 15 years in wrestling, or at least WWE.
You know? Yeah, and they hit you in the right spot. You go to sleep really quick, so.
Yeah, and maybe not wake up.
Yeah,
you know, because, I mean, as long as you don't have that soft spot still in there, you know, some people still do have the soft spot on their head, but, I mean, it was there to hype the next show, you know, most likely, as well as to get the crowd going, And it looked like it killed him, to be honest with you. I saw, you know, that, you know, I watched that and it was like, but people blew it out of proportion. People like Jim Cornette came out of the woodwork and said, you know, that was terrible.
No, Jim Cornette said it was fine. He said he has no problem with that shot at all.
Well, he must have backtracked on that.
Never once.
Really?
I listened to him from the start. I listened to both his podcasts. He goes, "That's the least thing I have a worry about." He was complaining about the fact they came out and said they gimmicked the chair.
Yeah, that's his problem.
He goes... "Yes, it's not a smart thing to take the unprotected chair shot, but Cody wanted to do it. The aim was off a little bit. Stuff happens in wrestling. They gave you gold because you did bust him open. You made it look real. They did what Dusty Rhodes would have done, which is have everybody, regardless of being heel or face, come down and look at it to make it look more real. But then you come out afterwards and say, 'Oh, yeah, we gimmicked the chair shot and something went wrong.'"
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think that, unfortunately, I don't know why they...
You want to know why wrestling doesn't draw the response it used to? Is because people know how it works now. True. You pulled the curtain back, and yes, you're going to have some stuff that people are like, "Oh, this is interesting because it looks different." And this could have been one of the cases, like, "Oh yeah, everything else is fake, but that's real because he's really bleeding from the back of his head from something they don't do anymore."
Yeah.
But you came out and said, "No, we actually tried to work it so it looked better," and it
it doesn't matter. Something happened. To me, it doesn't matter what they said. It was just a mistake with the chair shot. I mean, he kind of went sideways with it on the shot, and it wrapped around the back of Cody's head, and that's where it got cut.
2 inches better, 2 inches difference, he would have been fine.
Yeah, and we wouldn't have heard this. We wouldn't. You know,
you still would have heard it.
Yeah, but
the unprotected chair shot to the head was still drawn the CTE and the concussion talk.
But we wouldn't have had it explained to us, you know, by the company. So, and it's like, you know,
I disagree. I believe they will come out and said, "Yeah, he took an unprotected chair shot, but we gimmick the chair, so it's okay. It's not the same as what they used to do."
Well, I think, you know, that Jim Cornette also has issues with other executives in that company, and he will take any chance to take a shot at them.
It's not even Jim Cornette that's coming out on that stuff.
Yeah.
That's something I agree. Don't tell us your stuff is fake.
Yeah.
I mean... gimmicked or not, it's still a chair shot. Like, it's still risky. It still does damage.
But when you come out and tell me that you're gimmicking something, I'm thinking you're making it so it's as fake as possible.
Danger, all I can remember when we're talking about gimmicking things is when we went to WCW.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Spring Stampede with the rubber shovels that the Buffalo Bills were bending in front of the camera.
It was November. Was it September?
Spring Stampede or something like that.
No, it was.
Fall.
Fall Brawl.
Yeah, Fall Brawl.
Yeah, and we watched the Buffalo Bills sitting in the front row around the ring with these like rakes and with these shovels, and they're bending them like, you know, like they're made of rubber, and they're showing everybody in the crowd. They're holding them up and they're shaking them over their head, and you can see that these things are all rubber. And that's what I think when I think of gimmick chairs. Now, that chair was supposed to, I think, it was a real chair, obviously.
It was a real chair. They popped one of the pins out so it would open up easier.
And, you know, and of course, this is the debut of our guy, you know, coming from over from the WWE with the chair in his hand. What was his name again?
Sean Spears.
Sean Spears. Well, if you know him from WWE, you know him as
Ty Dillinger.
Ty Dillinger.
Perfect 10.
And I will say, and his girlfriend is a perfect 10, by the way. You know who's
fiance.
Dating?
I think they're getting married in August.
She's Peyton Royce, right?
Yes.
She is having her bridal party in Vegas right now as we speak. And if you follow them on Instagram, you can see some incredible pictures for last night from the places they went to. I guess Tennille Dashwood's really good friends with them too, as well, and she's with them too. So that's one good thing about Instagram is you get some really cool stories when people are going out and doing some crazy stuff, and that was definitely going on. I'm sure it's still continuing.
All
today.
I'm hearing is Creeper right now.
Hey, stop it! We're gonna go to break on that because the Creeper here needs. We need to come back with some news, and I don't know really. I mean, do we talk about the apology to Will Ospreay? Does it matter if Seth Rollins did that? To me, he's still in the same boat. I said last week, you know, it's like you know.
Seems forced. I mean, you know, someone said something, and that's why he apologized.
Ospreay never took it personally anyways.
No, he didn't. It wasn't Ospreay. It was everybody else who was reading it. So on that note, we'll take a break. You're listening to Pain Clinic. You can give us a call. We got one segment left, 222-1280. You can also text us at that number. We are on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Rock the Bar Bay.
In the treetop.
The wind blows.
The crater. The rock.
I forgot the rest of the song, but it's still good, though, right?
Charlie, we have extended our welcome. We are going this way.
Peace.
Gentlemen.
You two will never rest in peace.
Yo, you want to get hardcore, you want to get extreme, well, the Sandman does it by listening to 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm going to see a Bludgeon, former Bludgeon brother today. I'll tell him you all said hi.
Oh, you're going to hang out with Rowan?
Yeah, hold on. No, yeah, Rowan and I, man, we're tight. We fish. We gotta compare our mo haircuts together. All right. I wanted to give away some tickets here. We're going to do it in just a minute, but I want to tell you the Underworld Championship have a first show. It's Sunday, July 21st. It's going to be at the Main Street Armory. It's a Sunday, July 21st. Doors open at 1:30. Bell time's at 2. Got a whole slew of matches in here that you definitely want to come check out. We're going to give away a pair of tickets this weekend, next week. We got Ace Gervais and Mad Dog versus Luke Kane and Riott for the tag team qualifier match. Dick Justice is going to be taking on Sebastian Braun, the network qualifier match. We got and for the network title match, Tiger Smith versus H.C. Loc. It's the H.C. Loc in town here. You can grab tickets at First Print Comics, 1548 Buffalo Road, or UWC4Life.com. And we will be giving some tickets away before the end of this segment. So remind me of that, okay, as we're like the show starts to close, because I tend to forget sometimes after reading the plugs. But, yeah, I'm going to see a Bludgeon brother later today, and, you know, I'll send my best to him from everybody. But let's talk a little bit about the Profits showing up on Monday Night Raw. I love them in NXT. They're the NXT tag champs. Danger and I had a discussion 2 days ago about this, and you know exactly why they showed up on Monday Night Raw this past week.
Yeah, they're not getting their official call-up. They're going to be on Raw. But this is like Heyman, who's in a couple weeks before Bischoff's going to start, kind of throwing his line out and going, these are my guys and this is who I want. And it's kind of him politicking to get those guys on Raw by bringing them up and bringing them on and actually putting them over in the segment by having them interrupt him. And
which was great because they felt that they knocked him. You know, they kind of like made fun of him as he was walking away.
And they bring an energy to it that a lot of people don't bring anymore. You don't have that youthful enthusiasm because a lot of these guys have been there too long and been beaten down by the system. So you have
absolutely
these guys coming up and they're showing something. And even if you don't get the Red Solo Cup thing, you're going to enjoy it. They're going to be entertained by them.
Yeah. They kind of remind me of some other tag teams that have been brought up before just to add some spice to the whole show. And they do a good job. I mean, it's not quite that dude's name? Big Cass and
Enzo.
Enzo, yeah. Ugh. But those guys, I mean, listen, they spiked the crowd, and they because of what they did with that, they immediately...
It was hilarious that they screwed up earlier in the show and showed a back screen shot of them before they were ever on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that, the quick flash
over. Yeah, the quick flash of them sitting there just...
Yeah, there was... I love they don't always do everything perfect. You know, it's a network TV show, it's live, so... Guys, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I remember they just won that ladder match at the last TakeOver to win the titles. And that was an insane match. And the guys, you know, I mean, they may be young. And both of them are athletes. One was a football player. The other one was an amateur wrestler. So they're both great athletes coming in, and they're young. And I think Heyman's, I like their characters, and Heyman's picking the right team to go with, I think, which is kind of cool. And
I'm kind of surprised he didn't throw a line out for the Undisputed Era, though.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, you know what? Because... I don't know. Undisputed Era should be up already. I don't know why there's any reason why those guys aren't already, you know, they're entertaining every time they're out there. You know, I mean, I don't know.
They should be up. They should be together. They should be destroying
people.
What
do you think Bischoff's going to do? Is he going to grab anybody from the minors?
I don't know if Bischoff knows anybody in the minors.
The question is it when does Hogan show up? Is it going to be SmackDown Hogan? And
I don't think you see him.
You don't think
not any more than you do now.
Well, because remember when he came to Impact, he brought Hogan with him to Impact, and it was like, and it did nothing but flop.
It was a package deal.
Yes,
it was a package. This one is not a package deal, and I think it's still more that Bischoff's being brought in to deal with the network because he's a television exec.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they're playing him as a wrestling guy in the announcement, you know, so. I don't know. What do you guys think? 222-1280 star 1280 is the number. What do you think, Bri?
Yeah, we'll have to see, because as Danger points out, he's been out of the business so long. I don't know who he's got contacts with. He's been doing other things. It'd be interesting to see what he does. I think Heyman has the upper hand in that aspect.
He knows if he's given an unlimited budget how he can make a show entertaining. I will give him that.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, and that's what he did when he was working for Ted Turner.
Well, so. He knows how to do it in 1996.
Yes, he does. Yeah, and I mean, and listen, he was working with the same guys that Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes were working in creative with WCW before he came in and took over. So,
but he had some developed stars then. There aren't as many top level stars
that
right
are
now.
Free right now. Yeah,
they can move for him around. To work with. I think that he's going to have to build that up somehow, and I don't know if he's ready for that.
I think I want heel. I want heel champs. I'm just tired of face champs. You know, I mean, that's my problem with the wrestling world right now. It's like
they don't have many strong enough heels to be the heel champ to be chased.
True.
However, I do like what they're doing with Samoa Joe and building him up, and I would love to see him get that belt.
It's about time. They built him up like this.
What do you think? What do you think, Eric?
I think that looking at it, you know, Bischoff's a guy who's been about the wrestling business, and yeah, he's been out. But when you're out of the wrestling business, you're never really out of the business.
Yeah, I know. Because as people bump into you and they talk about wrestling,
exactly.
You
know? I mean, here I am. I'm 5 months away from a ring, and I'm still here talking wrestling. Sure, you know, so sure. It's one of those things where I think that when he jumps in, it's going to be a slow start. But I think he'll be right back in the swing of things. I think that we're going to see some very entertaining wrestling over the next few months leading into October. And once October rolls around, and we have wrestling almost every night of the week. You know, it's going to be something where there's going to be so many aspects and so many different things going on. I think wrestling's just going to be fun and entertaining again.
Imagine if Impact does show up on Access TV at that time. That's going to put like, and then, I mean, Ring of Honor's everywhere. Hey, Brian, tell us a little bit about Dalton Castle coming to town.
Oh, yeah. Dalton will be in town from 12 to 4 at the Grease Ridge Mall at our Flower City MiniCon on July 27th. He's not only going to be signing, but
is he going to be here in the studio with us?
I'm working on that. Okay. He should be in town.
Come on, Dalton. I know you work for another radio station, but come on.
He's not appearing till noon, so there's no reason he couldn't pop down here, be on the show, and then come on over to the mall. So
I will get donuts that day. I know since Danny's been gone, we haven't had donuts.
The problem is he going to be rolling out of bed early enough? I think that's the issue. I mean, we've had him on the show before, and he was pretty tired.
He woke him up.
But he's not only going to be signing, but he's bringing some merch with him. He's going to have toys. If you got a kid who wants a Dalton Castle toy, he's going to be bringing some T-shirts and some other stuff. So come on down, meet him. Rochester's own Dalton Castle.
And it's like, I mean, and there's nothing to get into Grease Ridge Mall. You can just walk in.
We're going to be in the walkway of the theater wing. No admission charge. So just come on down and meet a Ring of Honor superstar.
Definitely. And a guy who was a champion not that long ago and still is very instrumental in all the some of the main events going on. I don't like him turning against the boys, but beyond that, you knew it was going to happen someday. But and if you don't know, he's a Rochester native, you know, much like Luke Harper is. We've got a couple of guys from here that represent a national shows, which is pretty cool, man. I think that's awesome. I'm looking forward to hopefully. Come on, Dalton, come in the studio with us.
I'm working on it.
I'll leave it on that. We're going to get out of here. But is there anything else I'm missing in the news that we probably...
It looked like there was all too much this week.
No, WWE is going to be taping in November.
Slammiversary tomorrow.
Oh, Slammiversary. Slammiversary.
Impact Wrestling, Slammiversary tomorrow. I think it's 17.
Man, I feel old.
Yeah.
I think I went to one of them up in the Toronto area. I can't remember.
In
I think
Oshawa.
It might have been six. Yeah, Oshawa. It might have been six, I think, but... Got that. You got tonight. You got free wrestling on Access TV. You can watch the G1 tournament going on.
Or you can come join us at Salvatore's at the Garage.
Yeah, we're going to watch John Jones defend his title.
Don't forget to give tickets away.
I'm not giving tickets away. I don't have anything to give away.
No, not...
I'm giving tickets away to the... thank you for reminding me. Right now, caller 12, you get two tickets to Underworld Champions Show Sunday, July 21st. We'll take your 12th caller, 222-1280. We'll be back next week. See you, folks. Woo!